Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. Joining us this time on Metroscope is Tim Novotny. He's the Communications Manager and Assistant Administrator of the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. He works with Executive Director Hugh Link out of the Commission office in Coos Bay. Novotny served as News Director at KCBY-TV in Coos Bay for 12 years. He also wrote for the World newspaper before moving into his new career. Throughout his career, he reported extensively on the seafood industry. Among other things, he now heads the Commission's social media platforms, publishes an industry newsletter, oversees the Commission's website, as well as that of the Seafood Oregon's social media sites. Tim, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Preston. And it sounds like I'm a lot busier than I feel when you say it like that, so I appreciate that.
Well, when I was reading that bio, I was curious. I mean, you reported extensively on the seafood industry. Before we get going here, you got to give us a story or something. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Tell us about the biggest fish you ever saw or the biggest crab you ever saw caught or something. What was it like covering the seafood industry as a reporter?
Well, it was quite something. I mean, when you're on the coast and we're down here in Coos Bay, the TV station that I worked for was, 15 minutes from the Charleston port. You're almost on autopilot driving out there. You're down there for a variety of different, you're down there for the crab season. You're down there for tuna. You're down there for whiting. You're down there if sport season's going, you're regularly on the road there, and of course there's bad weather. Anytime the storms kick up, we needed to get video for the bigger stations to see some of the big waves crashing in. We had, of course, this wasn't quite the fishing industry, but we had the new Carissa. That was we're coming up on a 20-year anniversary of when the new Carissa ran aground near us, and we were out there covering that for about 10 years, but we had things like albino crab. I remember that, covering that, an all-white Dungeness crab, which at the time hadn't been seen in about 10, 15 years, and then we made a big deal about it, and about 2 years later, there was another albino crab caught. So I don't know if we jinxed ourselves, but we ended up on a run of albino crab stories, haven't seen too many since then. I'll put it that way. But it was just always a lot of fun. Crab season itself was a big story because it's a big part of the economy for not just Charleston, but for the state. So that was always a pretty big part of what I did as a news director and as a reporter was covering the start of the season. And we did that, every December, January, whenever the season got going, we were coming out to see how the crab were looking and talking to the local fishermen, talking to the local shops. I mean, it impacts a lot. And as part of that, and this is a good tie-in as to how I ended up where I was part of that as you spent a lot of time talking to the Crab Commission. The Crab Commission office happened to be in Coos Bay, so I was talking to Hugh Link a lot of times. I was talking to his predecessor, Nick Furman, a lot of times, and we'd get the story cranked out, and I just found it very, you know, just eminently fascinating, the work that they did. And so we would finish the story in about 20 minutes, and I'd end up spending about another hour just going, you know, explain this to me. Let's go into, what do you do if this happens? And I always said, you know, if there was ever an opportunity to switch into a different career, if there was one thing that would draw me out of journalism, I always thought it would be something like this kind of a job, where you get to advocate for men and women you respect doing a job that that they love, and for something that, you know, people rely on and people love and families love. And so when the opportunity came recently, in the, a little over a year ago is when I joined the team, and it was really, I went up against some very tough competition to get this job, and had had to go back prior to that to brush up my education and everything to get this job. But you know, it was really one of the high points of my career was being able to get the job that I had covered for so long. You know, it's there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the people on the coast. There's, from here, you get to go to all the ports and Brookings and Astoria and Garibaldi, Newport. You get to meet all the people, and they're just great salt of the earth people, and you just have a lot of fun getting to see the food come literally pulled from the ocean and make its way through the processing and making it through to the various chefs, and how they make the delicious you know, dinners or lunches, sometimes breakfast. You know, Dungeness crab goes so well in a variety of different ways, and it's just outstanding to see it go from its very beginning to people enjoying it at the table and enjoying it with one another.
Well, there you go. So long story short, the albino crab is the weirdest story, or one of the weirdest stories you've ever come across.
Yeah. Long story short, you're never going to get a long story too short from me, I'll tell you that right
now.
No,
I appreciate it. And it's funny, as we were talking before the show, just kind of such a small world in journalism. I mean, I worked at KVAL TV for 3 years as a sports guy. You worked at KCBY for over a decade as a news director. And, you know, we have plenty of mutual friends through TV, and those two stations are our affiliates. So it is kind of a small world. And hey, man, you're in a perfect spot for your interests when it comes to the coast and also journalism. So that's awesome to kind of hear your background and your story as we set the interview up. And we're here to talk about the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission and then crabbing season as well, and the local economics that tie in to folks all across the state of Oregon who are listening, or in Southwest Washington, or worldwide on metroscopepdx.com, on our website if you listen to it there in podcast form. But yeah, tell us a little bit about the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. For folks who don't know out there, you can check out their website. It's OregonDungeness.org, bunch of different informative tabs on there that describe their efforts. But let's hear it from you. Just talk to us a little bit about the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission and what you guys do.
Right. Well, this is you know, a commission. It's a commodity commission that represents a fishing industry that's been around for over 100 years. It was formed back in 1977 and is funded fully by the fishermen. So basically, the fishermen, we have about 424 boats in our fleet from border to border, and they get charged an assessment of 1%. It's been the same 1% assessment since 1977. And so 1% of what they make ex-vessel value, ex-vessel, you know, what they make after they bring it in, is goes to fund the commission. And so from that, we have our commodity commission. We are one of over 30 commodity commissions in the state of Oregon that has oversight of Oregon Department of Agriculture. And so they appoint, the director of the Department of Agriculture appoints a board made up of 5 fishermen, 2 processors, 2 representatives of processors, and 1 public member at large. Our most recent public member at large, we just took on in July. All of these members come on for 3-year terms. And our most recent public member at large is a chef, actually. So that's kind of a fun thing. Chef Leif Benson joins us from, he had been the executive chef of the Timberline Lodge up at Mount Hood for over 30 years, and now he serves on the Potato Commission, and he serves now on our commission, and gets to help us make all a bunch of different great dinners and recipes, and helps experiment with some of that, and he gives us a great different perspective from the fishermen and the processors. So he's a great addition to the board. And the board meets at least four times a year in different ports up and down the coast, and they basically give the commission our marching orders. And in the office, we have Shirley Williams, our operations manager, Hugh Link, the executive director, as you mentioned in the beginning, and then myself, and we march to whatever they ask us to do. But our primary mission is to enhance the image of Oregon Dungeness crab through promotion, education, and research. So that's our major mission. Our main goal each year is to somehow further enhance the brand of Oregon Dungeness, and we do that through marketing. We do that by going to different events, whether it's in the state, sometimes it's out of the state. We go to shows, like we'll be going soon to the Portland Seafood and Wine Festival, and we'll be sharing some of the great Oregon Dungeness crab that our fishermen are harvesting right now. We'll be sharing that up there. We'll be going to the Boston Seafood Expo in Boston in March, and sharing some of what we've got out there as well. So we get around, but we also do things like help try to find different ways to enhance through research, and we can get into that a little bit as well.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I was reading on the website, and you kind of alluded to it there. The Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission's mission is to enhance the image of the Oregon Dungeness crab industry, to increase opportunities for profitability through promotion, education, and research, as you were kind of alluding to there. So tell us about the commercial Oregon Dungeness crab fishery and what that's all about.
So the crab fishery is made up of basically, we have 424 boats in the fleet, but each year taking part in the season is probably a little over 300 vessels will take part. We have six major ports from Astoria to Brookings, and the fishermen, they have a crew, depending on the vessels, there's smaller vessels to bigger vessels, sometimes as small as a two-person crew, up to some bigger vessels might have a four-person crew. Some of them just go out and come back in on quick runs. Others can stay out for a few days. But basically, they go out. Season starts around, typically can start December 1st. Unfortunately, we haven't started too close to December 1st in recent years. I think we've only made it on time one out of the last 6 years, I believe. And then it goes through August, mid-August, about the 14th at midnight, I think, is when the season wraps up. And most of the catch is actually brought in the first 8 weeks of the season. About 80 to 85% of the total catch is going to be caught within the first 2 months of the season. So while it goes on until August, the predominant number of the Oregon Dungeness crab are going to be brought into the ports in that first couple of months.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, December 1st through the 14th is when the ocean crab season along the Oregon coast is supposed to begin. But like you mentioned, I think you said five of the last 6 years, the crab season's been delayed. I saw on your guys' website you released a press release about it being delayed this year. Why is that?
We do preseason testing, and we're basically looking for a couple of things. One is that we want the best possible product to hit the stores. So the crab go through a series, as they grow, they go through a series of molting, and they fill up with meat. When they're at their best, they're one of the meatiest crab out there, and that's one of the things that makes Oregon Dungeness such a great crab, is that you get a lot of meat when you get a two-pound crab in the store. You should have about 25% meat recovery from a two-pound crab. So we want to make sure that that's the case. So we go through preseason testing, and we go up and down and test Northern California up through Southern Washington. The industry will do preseason testing, and will not start the season until the crab average 25% for most of the coast. When you get up to some north of Cascade Head up near Washington, it only has to be at 23%. But once you hit those limits, then you can open the season. Then we feel good that we've got a good product going to market. And this year, we just had, and last year, we just had some trouble with some light crab in certain parts of the coast. And the big thing is, we can't open just one port here, one port there for enforcement's sake and a lot of other reasons. We need to have a big stretch of coast to be able to open. We can set a line, as they say. We can set one line and open it all in one direction north or one direction south. And we just were not able to find a line because there was always one area that just wasn't quite ready. We were getting great test crab in the center part of the state around Newport and Garibaldi, even a little north of Charleston was outstanding crab early on. But we were a little light down in the southern part around Port Orford, and we were a little light up north around the southern part of Washington. So that kept us in at the docks in the early part of the season as we waited for a universal open so that we could bring it in. Another thing we look for is we want to make sure that the crab are healthy. We have had issues with some warming ocean in the past few years, which has led to algae blooms. And with the algae blooms is that you can get this, it's called a natural occurring toxin, but called domoic acid. You've probably heard of it. People have probably heard of it. It can be harmful in big doses, and we have a preponderance of caution. We will close down sections if we get tests of domoic acid that get too high in the viscera of the crab, and the viscera is basically the guts of the crab. Most of the time, people aren't eating the guts. In fact, almost universally, most people don't like to eat the guts, and we encourage people not to eat the guts. But there are some people who do, and so just to make sure to take that overabundance of caution, we'll close things down. And so there has been a little bit of a domoic situation down around Brookings, and just a little, but enough to where it's kept that area from being able to be opened now. Hopefully, we're getting close to being open down there as well. But we were able to open the season finally around January 4th. We were able to start getting crab in north of Charleston, and that's what you're seeing coming into the stores right now.
Okay, and then I guess the natural follow-up would be, where are we this year with regards to testing and potential dates of opening for the season?
So we got a late start, but we were able to finally open when we were finally got one last port in Washington to open. That allowed us to open to set one line. We set the line at Charleston, and we opened north of Charleston. And so when we did that, that allowed us to open up on January 4th. Mm-hmm. And so a number of our fleet, a large portion of our fleet, was able to start to go out and start to fish. South of Charleston remained closed for two reasons, and one was in Brookings, where they were still having some domoic acid concerns. Port Orford remained closed because they had light crab. So we continued to test in those two areas, and we are looking right now as a possibility we can get something opened around February 1st is the latest, where we're going to continue to test and see what we can do for that. We added a new tool to our management system last year, which was being able to give the fishermen the opportunity to fish under an order of evisceration. And that means if they want, they can say, we'll go out in an area like Brookings and fish with the understanding that we can't sell those crab as whole cooks or as live crab. We can only sell them if they've been eviscerated by the processors, or we can only sell them in sections or clusters where the guts are already removed. And so there's an option after January 15th, because after January 15th, it doesn't matter anymore what the weight of the crab is. That's the what they have in their protocol for a drop dead date. If they want, they can open up. So Port Orford's clear to go, but they're next to Brookings, so they're staying in for right now and targeting February 1st as an opportunity to potentially start the season. But we'll have to keep a close eye on how the next couple of weeks goes. They're also looking at Northern California, which has not opened yet as well, also for light crab and also for some issues of domoic acid. So they've had some clean tests. If they have another clean round of tests, we'll see if they open, and if they do, we'll see if Brookings and Port Orford follow suit. So it's an exciting time of year, and we're on the doorstep of having a full coastal opening, and that, of course, would make everybody very happy. So
okay. Well, you definitely know, man, you know everything about every location. It seems like this is Tim Novotny joining us on Metroscope PDX here. He's the communications manager over at Oregon's Dungeness Crab Commission. Let's talk about the local economic impact of this, if we could, that I know our Portland and Southwest Washington listeners are probably interested in. There are a number of different statistics available on the OregonDungeness.org website. Just looking at the fishery tab there, one of the nuggets is in the most recent 10-year period, the to-the-boat value ranged from $5 million to $51 million, and the Dungeness crab fishery usually is the most valuable single-species fishery in Oregon. So can you kind of just elaborate on the economic impact of the fishery?
Yeah, and I actually I'm glad you pointed that out. I got to get off the stick and correct that, because we've actually surpassed the $51 million twice now in the last 2 years. So wow. I've got to correct that. Yeah, we set back-to-back records over the last 2 years with our ex vessel value. Brought in about $62 million two seasons ago, and then last season we brought in $74 million ex vessel value to the state. We were nowhere near the highest amount of crab landed. We brought in a little over 23 million pounds of crab for the season, which is over the 10-year average. About the 10-year average is about 16 million pounds of crab. It's a cyclical fishery, so we kind of go up and down. There's times where we'll have real low output, and then there's times where we'll have really big output, a lot of crab get brought in, and nobody's been able at this point to really put a good kind of predictability scale together to find out what year is going to be good and what year is going to be bad. So you kind of just, you don't know until you get the boats out on the water and start pulling crab and find out what the year is going to be like. Mm-hmm. But what's been outstanding is that the value of the crab's been going up. So, like I said, last year we brought in 23 million pounds, which hadn't been done in about 9 years. So it was still a very good year poundage-wise. But the amount, dollar amount brought in of $74 million was $12 million more than the record set the year before, which was just outstanding. And so what, you know, that means for the state, we use a multiplier model, basically times two. That's kind of on a conservative side, but we figure for $74 million, you figure that's about $150 million of money infused into the Oregon economy. So that means a lot to the state. It means even more to the coastal economies, because a lot of that money stays a lot of it stays in the state, but a lot of it, a big portion of that will stay in those coastal economies, Astoria, Newport, Charles. I mean, places where they need that. There's not a lot of other industry around there to help fill the void if something goes wrong. So, or if you have a down year. So to have that kind of money come in is a big boon for those coastal economies. And so something like a season of $62 million or a season like $74 million is just outstanding and means a tremendous amount, not just for the fishermen, but, you know, you figure out all the places that sell supplies to the fishermen, or the restaurants where the fishermen now have a little more money that they can take their families out to eat, or, more people, know about it. They come in, they can go do some shopping. And so it's just a real big boost to these villages that can be face some hard times when it's a lean year.
Tim, thanks a lot, man. Is there anything else that you'd like to hit on about your business or the industry in general, or have we pretty much covered it?
We covered a lot of it. I mean, I could talk forever. You know, the big thing is we want people to know that we've got great men and women working in the Oregon Dungeness crab fishery. They're working in a job that they love. It can be a difficult job, but they love to do it, and they do it for their communities. They do it for the people who love Oregon Dungeness, and they do it sustainably. There are a lot of safeguards in there to make sure we can go into that, or you can check it out on our webpage, OregonDungeness.org. But there's a lot of safeguards in there to make sure they want to make sure that this fishery, as it's been around for over 100 years, a lot of them, their dads got them into it, or their granddads got them into it, and they want their children, their grandchildren to grow into it. So this is something they take a great pride in, doing it and doing it right. And they continue to look for new ways to do it the best possible way they can, and hope that you guys will support them by going out and buying Oregon Dungeness and trying it however you want to try it, but give it a try. It's a great tasting dinner. It's a fantastic, healthy alternative for you, and now's the time to do it. Beginning of the season, it's the best prices, and you'll have a better chance of finding it out there, Oregon Dungeness.
Cool. All right, Tim. Well, thanks for your time, and best of luck to everyone out on the coast this season. Hope you guys break another record this year with pulling in those crabs, and, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Preston, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk about Oregon Dungeness crab, and hopefully you get down here, we'll talk sports, and we'll set you up with some dungeness.
We were talking today with Tim Novotny, Communications Manager for Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. Metroscope is an Entercom Portland public affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.